Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer. Sanctions. The Russian invasion of Ukraine and 2 years of brutal war led to sanctions at first from the U.S. and Europe, and then more and more sanctions targeting individuals, targeting companies, and then eventually targeting the energy complex that Russia depended upon. It's more than 2 years later, and there's reason to believe that the Russian economy is not on its knees. Why? I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, has been my guide on sanctions regime since before the troop crossed the sovereign border of Ukraine and launched what we now know is a draining war, not only on Ukraine and Russia, but on all of Europe and eventually all the planet. However, there was that story early that many companies were exiting Russia in disgust or in despair or fearing to be sanctioned if they stayed. I read now from Financial Times, Western businesses backtrack on their Russia exit plans. Companies such as Avon Products, Air Liquide, and Reckitt remain in the country as bureaucratic obstacles to leaving increase. The numbers, the raw numbers, tell the story. This year, 2 years later, there are 1,223 Western companies in Russia that have curtailed their business in some fashion. 387 have left entirely, and remaining without any changes, 2,173. Michael, I don't remember this being talked about in the early days of what's going to happen when we leave Russia. They're going to have to make their own hamburgers. But was this always going to be true, that the sanctions regime was going to be more of a gesture than a policy? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Two very important points about sanctions in general, these Russian sanctions. Sanctions are very, very effective when there are critical exports or critical imports. If the country needs to import oil, for example, has no energy on its own, and there is a sanction, well, the industry cannot survive. But Russia doesn't have these critical exports and imports because Russia is an oil-producing company. It's a big exporter of all sorts of energy, oil, natural gas, and a big exporter of food, of grain. And because of that, it is very difficult. Only financial sanctions, which take time, only now they become effective. And the second point is that it takes time. So sanctions are depends on enforcement. And since December 2023, half a year ago, the small enforcement started to hit from the U.S. Treasury and from the executive order of the President of the United States. And immediately China, Turkey, Hong Kong, Serbia, which is a Russian ally, they started to curtail Russian business, and the Russian imports have declined because enforcement applies to banks and financial institutions are very much afraid that their correspondent accounts in the United States will be punished. So this is about sanctions. The companies that leave, initially lots of companies wanted to leave, from 1,400 to 2,000 applications to leave. And then the Russian government said, all right, you leave, but first of all, you must sell their assets to the Russian companies at 50% discount. So you immediately lose 50%. Then there is a tax upon tax, and then there is a fee. And eventually they've calculated that they lose 90% of their assets. Many of these companies are industrial companies. They built on the average 4 to 5 plants, they manufacture, they produce, and they lose everything. So it is better for them to wait.
Dubai. Sanctions slow the economy, never stop it, said Haman Bouamim, chair of the Dubai Multi-Commodities Center. His point is that Russia's oil and gas selling to Germany and the West did not go away. It was redirected by sanctions. He goes on to say trade continues flowing, it just flows in a different way. Now, Michael, I don't remember the President of the United States or the President of the European Commission telling us we're going to sanction them, but their oil and gas is just going to keep pouring out of their country into other markets that will get discounts. I don't remember them telling us this, but it was always true, and Dubai is just telling us the truth, right? Dubai's not choosing sides. They're just saying it has to go somewhere, and there's always a customer.
We live in the world of globalization. There is always substitution. The energy sanctions are different from anything else because the financial sanctions targeted Russian banks and wanted to constrain the Russian financial system. And sanctions on imports and critical imports to prevent technological advancement and use in the military technologies. But the energy sanctions were different. They were very clever. The energy sanctions did not want for the world market to lose on the supply of oil and natural gas. It was never the objective. On the contrary, the objective was to preserve the global supply of 200-203 million barrels a day. The idea was to impose the price caps so that the Russian oil and gas revenues would decline. But the Russians lost the natural gas market of 155 billion cubic meters a year in Europe. Although it was not even under sanctions, they themselves withdrew some parts and there was an explosion of their pipelines. Now they are trying to put focus on liquefied natural gas, which cannot fully substitute. But oil, just if you look at the map of the world, what happened with oil is very simple. All the Russian oil went to China and India, two major customers, and all the Midwestern oil went to Europe to substitute for the Russian oil. And that's it. The world market remains flooded with oil. Oil is $83-84 per barrel, despite the all the trouble in the Red Sea and in the Middle East. And the Russian budget is losing revenues because of the price caps. So this sanction was effective to the extent that the governments can enforce the price cap. Of course, Russian oil sells above the cap because China and India are buying it even at discount, but they are buying it above the price cap of $60 per barrel.
Germany is calling for the EU to do more to curtail the last 20% of Russian energy imports still coming into the bloc shores ahead of a meeting of ministers this week. What do they want to happen? We have about a minute.
There is almost no Russian oil in Europe. It's banned. The natural gas, still 15% is supplied by Russia. But now, because of the United States liquefied natural gas that flows to Europe, they can stop by 2027 all the import of Russian natural gas, including LNG, liquefied natural gas. Russia will lose this revenues. So Germany and Czechia are now in the forefront, and other countries will join.
And the liquefied natural gas, has that adequately replaced Russian natural gas indefinitely, or is it much more expensive? Are they making money with it?
No, it is a bit more expensive, but the Russians increased, they reduced their natural gas as gas. They increased their liquefied natural gas. Now, last year, it was a record year, 21.5 billion cubic meters equivalent of liquefied natural gas. But the United States producing a huge amount. There were Germany and other countries built terminals. There is no problem. The United States will effectively crowd out all Russian natural liquefied natural gas.
Michael Bernstam for the Hoover Institution watching sanctions. Again, the word sanctions, you should read very carefully after the word appears because somebody's going to make money. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.